Next, we get to hear from Kim. I'm really excited for this. There was a service where Kim was blessing us with her gift of music, and I was struggling with something, and she said, "There may be something some of you are struggling with today. Whatever it is, just know he's got you." And now I can't even remember what this huge deal was. Like, it's actually gone because she helped me remember to give it to him. So thank you, Kim, for allowing us to remember to let him hold us. Please join me in welcoming Kim.
Okay, so the two things that I brought today, one is a prayer shawl that my mom made for me. And as she made it, she prayed. It's very special and I just love it, but I don't actually use it as a shawl because the material she used it out of just leaves fuzz everywhere and I wind up eating it. But it is something that is very special to me. But yesterday, as I was leaving my job and I was looking for my quiet time to let work go for the week and to prepare for today, I went to the Columbia River, which is just a mile down from where I work, and there was a fisherman out there, him and his wife, and they were setting their poles, and I was watching him as I was trying to center down, looking for my quiet spot. And he went down, and he carefully walked down the bank, and he cast his line. And once he knew that that line was set, he walked carefully back up the bank, put his fishing rod in the holder, and his wife's was already set by the time I got there. But and then he put a little warning thing on the line so that he could tell when it was set or when something was pulling on it, I guess. This is what I'm assuming this is all meant, 'cause I'm not a fisherman. So as this was, and then he went and he sat in the truck and the both of them watched the lines. I'd see her look around. I watched them for a little while and I saw her look around a few times, but they kept their focus on those lines. I sat there for well over an hour praying, going over everything. And when I left, they were still focused on their lines. That's what prayer is. Prayer is action. And today, that's what I'm talking to you about is how God prompts us, how he calls us in prayer. There are certain things that he speaks to us in dreams. He speaks to us in the quiet. He speaks to us through scripture. He speaks to us through you, through our body. He speaks to us through beauty. He speaks to us in prayer. But God asks us to be obedient. He asks us to respond. And in all of these that we've learned today, and as we go forward, I forgot I'm supposed to be doing this, aren't I? Okay. As we go forward, we're going to read scripture, 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. The wife of a man from the company of prophets cried out to Elijah, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elijah replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. But don't just ask for a few. Ask for empty jars. Then go inside, shut the door behind you and your sons, pour the oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put one aside. She left him, shut the door behind her. They brought the jars to her and kept pouring. Then all the jars were full. Then when all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There's not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil, pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left." In this scripture, I love this story because she was told to go, to ask. She was told to even go and shut the doors. She was told to keep pouring, to have that faith, to keep going. That's a lot of things that today, do we have that faith? Do we have that faith to keep pouring? Do we have that faith to say, okay, I'm going to go in and I'm going to shut the door. And even that one little step, just shut the door, go in and shut the door. In that time frame, they didn't have the windows that we do, so it was very dark in there. So they couldn't see all that was going on like we can. But they were told to go, told to shut the doors and keep pouring. As children of God, we have to be ready and we have to be on watch at all times to have a willing spirit and to respond as he prompts us to. Sometimes that is to be still, and sometimes that is to pour, sometimes that's to move. God speaks to us through events, through different events and promptings through the Holy Spirit. He helps us grow in our faith through these promptings, to grow and to trust and to strengthen as we walk in this path. We all have times of weakness when we all need a reality check, and there are times when we need to be strengthened and affirmed. When 16 years ago, when we moved, it was about 17 years ago, Scott and I came. We told the church that this is what we feel God is calling us to do. And we had the house at that time, and I was sleeping, and I woke up, and God had told me, "I will sell the house at the very last minute." Now, I'm like Dave. I mean, I learned this today. I'm Dave. Scott's Rick. Scott is a complete planner. He does not like to not have anything, not ready to go. He needs to know in advance all of this is taken care of. I say, "Let's drive to San Francisco, and we'll find a hotel then, and find out it's Fleet Week, and there are no hotels." I mean, that's literally happened. So for me, I know that that warning was, or that information, that dream was from God for me to convey to Scott. God is going to sell our house. I want you to go, but this is going to be at the very last minute. We left. No one looking at our house. We had to borrow the money for the move. House still here, sitting empty. Literally 10 days before our car was to be repossessed, the house sold. God paid for everything, and he took care of everything. I mean, we were, and I'm a journaler, so I can go back and I can look at these things that God has done and highlighted, and I can say, he answered it then, and that has helped Scott a lot in growing in that way. He's not as confined to, I don't know, structure. I'm probably in trouble for this, but this goes for all the 14 years of sermons that he's thrown me under the bus for. So then there was the healing. I've always struggled with depression, and sometimes that depression was pretty bad. And then when we moved to Virginia, I had still had seizures, and I was really struggling with depression, and I was at a women's retreat with some dear friends who had been working with me on this, and we were going up this ski lift to ride these toboggans down. And I went up, and I was just so afraid. It's like I wouldn't let them shake the ski lift. I wouldn't let them move. I wouldn't let them talk. I was just so fearful and so depressed at that time. And it took me literally 20 minutes to drive down this little slope that should have taken 2 minutes on a little toboggan. And I got to the bottom and I said, enough. So I made them all pay for it again. And we went up there, and halfway up, I just said, I'm done. Holy Spirit, I'm done, and I heal me. And the breath and the freshness that washed over me at that point, I knew I was released from depression. And at that point, I do feel that there's a generational curse of depression. And at that point, I felt that that was released from my children as well. And my children don't suffer from it. But then I came back. Everything was good. But Scott pointed out to me that I would slowly start to fall back into it because I was comfortable there. I knew what depression was, and I was comfortable, and I was scared of this new area. And so he had to show me that and point that out to me. And I had to fight, not because I knew I was healed. I can still tell you the exact feelings I had at that moment when the Holy Spirit healed me. So I had to continue to claim that healing. That's something that we have to continue to do through prayer and the promptings of the Holy Spirit. It was about 2 years, year after the healing, because we were only in Virginia for 3 years, when we found out that one of our children was really struggling at that point. And we agreed that as we entered ministry, God called us into the ministry after all of our children were born, after we were married. So we entered the ministry together as a family. So we were not going to allow one of our children to be sacrificed because of our ministry. And so we felt that it was time for us to leave Virginia. We didn't realize at the time how hard things were on Scott or on different things until later. But as we were trying to leave, one church, and I love the people at the church, so please don't take this wrong, one church did approach us. And I did not like the fact that we were leaving the evangelical church for this other church. There was something about leaving evangelical to go to Friends United, that just bothered me. So I laid out a fleece, and I asked God, if this is what you really want, please answer this fleece. This fleece, I still have it. It had three things on it. I think it was three. Anyways, the first thing was answered, and we were so anxious to get out of Virginia that we took it. It wasn't where we were supposed to be. And the neat thing is that we can see that because where we were supposed to be called us a month later, and we had already said that we had already accepted another church. And as we looked at their path, they didn't hire a pastor for 2 years. They kind of struggled. And as soon as we put in our resignation, their youth pastor who had been stepping in put in his resignation, and our paths aligned again. So we see that that's where God wanted us, but out of our disobedience, out of our lack of faith, we went ahead and moved. There is that danger of moving out of a lack of faith. Did God still use us when we were in Iowa? Of course. And there was so much good that did happen there, and we're thankful for our time there. We did learn, though, that there is something about being still long enough to really hear what God is saying. And some people didn't agree, but during this 5 months when Scott was unemployed, there were a few job offers that God said, no, not yet. And so we turned him down. And that was really hard to do because we needed him to be working. But God said, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Wait. I'm just giving you a few examples. Our faith grows through these experiences. Our faith, not only our faith grows, but we are able to share these experiences with others and help others grow through those experiences. Through some of these things, we've had people come up to us and say, how? How were you able to do that? our kids have looked at us and said, how can you do that? But then when they see the other side, they see once we make it through, they say, you've got such a good, strong faith. Shortly before my dad died, he looked at me and he said, faith in God is something you and Scott have really figured out, isn't it? And that spoke a lot to me because my dad needed that. He needed that sign in order for him to accept it, that there truly is, Jesus is real. But these promptings, they're every day. They're every day in the supermarket. They're every day at the restaurant. Some of you that know me, or those that know me, know I'm a huge Seahawk fan, and I like my Seahawks, and I like to watch them. And we don't have live TV up in at the house, so when we are in town, I can get it on my phone. And we were sitting at a restaurant this fall, and just a fast food place, and we were watching the game while we were eating, and this guy walked in, and he asked, how's the game going? And Scott had gotten up, and so we were talking through the game, and it's like, are you hungry? And he was homeless. He did not look homeless. He didn't look like he hadn't eaten, but he was like, yes. I said, what'd you order? And he said, just beans. So we got him a meal, and but that little conversation, being open and being aware to what the Holy Spirit is saying, is what we're called to do. It's not a whole lot. It's a conversation sometimes that's what people need to hear. I just have one more, and this one is, please don't judge me. Because this is really, it's not a pretty picture, but when we were, when we left Virginia, like I said, we didn't know how badly we had been attacked, especially Scott. He went into a depression for a time. But we had worked through all of that. And it was about 2 years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, that I'm blessed that I get dreams from God. I hear him. I have not had, up until this last 6 months, I have not had to use alarm clock in forever because the Holy Spirit just wipes my face and tells me it's time to get up. And I've felt so blessed to have that connection with God. But about 2 years ago, he came to me and standing in my room, and he said, you're going to go through a dark time. I didn't know what that meant. Through JR's death, through my dad's death, through moving, through leaving the ministry, Scott unemployed, all of those took its toll. But I was doing really good, I thought. And so when we were, it was about a couple months ago, I had this dream. And I had this dream that Scott and I were kneeling on a couch in our new addition that was carpeted, which our floor wasn't carpeted at that time, and we were both kneeling and saying we surrender. So I told Scott, I said, I think God needs you to surrender, because I thought he was hurting so badly still from everything. And he's like, Kim, I've surrendered. So then all of a sudden the song, I Surrender All, would come to me. Like, okay, I don't know where that's coming from. I'd go to Scott again. I think we need to do it together. Maybe that's what it is. We need to do this together. He's like, okay, but I think we're good. And so then in January, I had to fly out to Pennsylvania for a conference for work. And I went to church with my sister, and I've been having a rash on my hand, and she said, you need to go up front, and you need to be prayed over. And I said, yeah, I probably do, because we knew it was stress-related. We knew that I needed to do this. And so their church was a lot like ours set up. So I was going to this side of the stage, and all of a sudden, this group came up and took everyone on that side of the stage. So I had to walk all the way around to this other side, and There's this lady standing there, and she just grabbed my hands and told her what I was asking for prayer for. And she said, but there's something else. And I said, well, my husband's unemployed. Sorry. And I said, we just recently stepped out of ministry for a while. And she said, okay, that's it. So she grabs my hands and she starts praying. And she said, Kim, will you forgive me as the church? And she listed things that had happened in Virginia that I did not know I was holding on to, that I needed to surrender. God was not telling him to surrender. He was telling me to surrender, but I didn't realize it. There's promptings that we have for others that we need to be obedient to. And as this lady prayed for me, and I said yes, and I said yes, and over to all of this stuff, it was like this huge burden was lifted off of me, and I could not wait to go and tell Scott all about it. God speaks to us through prayer, but he asks us to be obedient. He asks us to be active. I have a few questions towards the end, or I guess I'm at the end. I did not follow anything that I even had at all. I guess my questions, how do you prepare before you pray? Do you prepare to hear God and to respond to what he's asking? Are you prepared to just sit still? I think that's the hardest thing in our society, is to be still and to stay still. Do you act when you hear a nudge or feel a nudge from the Holy Spirit? Do you get up and talk on Sunday morning? You getting up, Paula, and telling us about John. That was huge for me. Thank you. But you don't know who you're speaking to. Shelley said that I spoke to her, and I didn't know who the Holy Spirit was talking to that day, but he did. Are you obedient to that? And the last one is a really personal one for me, because I've really had to learn not to settle. I feel like sometimes we don't move fast enough. Other times, we move too fast before we truly hear what the Lord is wanting us to say. We only get half of the blessing, and we rob somebody else. So I just encourage you all. I'm just so thankful for all of you. You guys have taken us in and loved on us and prayed for us over the last, I don't know, some of you have known me since I was this high, so... or higher, but we just appreciate all of you, and we look forward to growing with you and praying with you and dreaming with you. Thank you.
I say. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, Lord. I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all.
I surrender all.
I surrender all.
I surrender all.
All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. Now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to His name. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior.
In just a few minutes, Janet and I will be in the back of the church. If anyone would like to be prayed with, feel free to, you can go to Janet or myself, and we are available for you. And that's not just today. If there's any time that you want to be prayed, I know that we're both available.
God forgave my sin in Jesus'
name. Would you like to stand? Stretch your
I've
legs
been
a little.
Born again in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name I come to you to share His love as He told me to. He said, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. All power is given in Jesus' name, in earth and heaven, in Jesus' name.
I sit in awe, the power of God. First of all, we have to give Him praise for, praise be to the Lord for what He's doing in our midst, not just today, but in each one of our lives. It's been so beautiful to hear the testimonies of each one of you, each one with their gifts, with their uniqueness, You have blessed us. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord, first of all, for guiding our retreat. Thank you to each one of the presenters for giving yourself so humbly, being willing to share with us, each one of you. I know some, Diane has left. I know Diane is there. Oh, good, I thought you had left. And to Shelley, that has done such a wonderful work. And to our boys up there, thank you so much. Bob and everyone just needs it. It's been an experience to stand in awe. Before we say our final prayer, and before I forget, one of these plants is for the gentleman up that helped us. The one for Bob. Ida, where's Ida? There's one for Bob over there. He might share it with his wife, Ida. And for each one of the presenters, including Shelley, if you will take one of the flower arrangements. And then for you, dear ones, and I know many have left, would you do us the honor, Hannah? Yes, you can pass them around. We have a little gift that matches the theme of God sharing his treasure through Jesus. Thank you so much.